in spite of our unfaithfulness. God has been very faithful to us. What a faithful God is He. And when we consider how faithful God has been to us, we need to ask Him for grace so that we too can be faithful. What do you say? Thank the ladies' choir. I'll just read verse 12 of Revelation 14. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Let us pray. Our God and our Father, thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And thank you for this day that you have set aside for us to worship before you. Thank you for revival and for reformation and renewal. Help us to be passionate disciples and to seek to build up your kingdom and to enhance the work and mission of your church. Guide us through this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. I want you to consider again Revelation chapter 14, 6 through 12. I won't read it again. It was read for us. Thank you. Revelation chapter 14 and verses 6 through 12. This passage of Scripture, I believe, is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. This passage of Scripture is one of the most significant passages for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This passage of Scripture carries the message of the eternal gospel to be preached to you and to me, to every Jamaican, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This passage of Scripture, with three angels flying in the midst of heaven, carries the last warning message for the world that does not know God, does not want to know God, and does not believe in God. This passage of Scripture is specifically cautioning and calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church, particularly those of us who have a form of godliness and are denying the power thereof, to turn from sin and to seek for revival, to seek for reformation, and to seek for renewal. There is a wave of worldliness that is rushing into our congregations that many are conforming to and compromising the principles that have guided us over this long, long journey. This passage of Scripture is a message of warning, lest we forget where God has taken us from and how He carried us on eagle's wings to where we are today as a people. Lest we forget. Bring to memory where God has taken you and I from and where we are today personally. Lest we forget, call to memory the long journey from Egypt to Canaan, and how God provided for us, how He protected us, how He fought and destroyed our enemies, how He performed miracles after miracles on our behalf, how He led us with a ball of fire by night and a cloud of pillar by day. Doesn't He always come through for us? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but He will do it again. Lest we forget, call to memory where He found you and where He found me. Call to memory where He has taken you from as an individual. Where He has taken me from. Call to memory how He has saved you. And how He has saved me. Call to memory, brothers and sisters, where you are today. Where God has led you from. Where He has brought you now. And where you are today. Call to memory how God has been good to you. Lest we forget. You see, this passage of Scripture is God's last appeal to a world fraught with failure and destined for destruction. This passage of Scripture is singular in its significance, in the proclamation about Jesus and in the final moments of Earth's history, that the world may know Jesus and prepare for His second coming. This passage of Scripture, this message of the heralding angels, is given within the context of the arrival of the judgment hour. This is the hour of judgment. And the Bible says we must fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of the judgment has come. The hour of the judgment can be seen as a time of terror for the unbeliever and a harbinger of hope for a time of terror for the unbeliever and a time of hope for the believer. The hour of judgment is God's final call for repentance. And somehow in my own heart, I believe that this call for repentance comes first to me and my church, who have the solemn responsibility to call others to repentance. You see, time is available to accept Christ and to make amends for sins committed. Therefore, the judgment, our message, is the last good news for the world. It is the last plea by a loving God for all of us to accept His gift of mercy and pardon. Because after the judgment, there will be no more time for repentance. And I would like to share with you the significance of the message of each angel in Revelation 14, 6 through 12. The first angel. This is the portion of Scripture that deals specifically with God's judgment. This chapter, chapter 14, comes after the apostasy seen in Revelation chapter 13. And so the first angel declared emphatically, "Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of the judgment has come." How are we to fear God and give Him glory? By grace, through faith in Jesus, by depending totally on Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in Jesus, This is righteousness by faith. And this is what the first angel's message is all about. Righteousness by faith. By grace through faith in Jesus. Revelation chapter 14. And the first angel. Brothers and sisters, as you read it, you can see that this is the beginning of the end. Just before we see Jesus coming in the clouds with power and with great glory. The appeal to you and me is to fear God and to give Him glory and to worship Him. The term fear God can best be understood from the Hebrew perspective seen in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. I read it from the Message Bible, and it says here, "So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this: live in His presence in holy reverence. Follow the road He sets out for you. Love Him. Serve God your God with everything you have in you. Obey His commandments and regulations that I am commanding you today." Then it ended by saying, "Live a good life. Live a godly life." This is an urgent appeal to all of us, bar none, to worship the Creator of heaven and earth. This is an appeal for true worship. Now, true worship appeals for courage, obedience, and loyalty to God. Therefore, this for me involves unequivocally the keeping of God's commandments, which includes the seventh day, or the fourth commandment, the seventh day of the week. This is also an appeal for all of us to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. Go to angel number 2. The second angel declared that Babylon is fallen. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, and verses 6 through 8. I read again from the Message Bible. This is what it says. "Get out of Babylon as fast as you can. Run for your lives. Save your necks. Don't linger and lose your lives in my vengeance on her as I pay her back for her sins." Babylon was a fancy gold chalice held in my hand, filled with the wine of my anger to make the whole world drunk. The nations drank the wine and they are all gone crazy. Babylon herself will stagger and crash, senseless as a drunken stupor, tragic. Get anointing balm for her wound. Maybe, just maybe, she can be cured. Revelation chapter 17 talks about Babylon as a prostitute, brimming with defilement and fornication. Now, a man and his wife don't commit fornication. A man and his wife, living together as man and wife, they don't commit adultery. No. Therefore, Babylon, as a prostitute, brimming with defilement and fornication, is seen as a fallen church. She has broken the relationship with God. Do you remember what took place in Babylon during the time of Belshazzar? Bible says Babylon is found what? Wanting. The angel over in chapter 18 of Revelation is correct in calling us firstly as members of the church to come out of Babylon. Many times we believe when we say come out of Babylon, we are talking to persons who are not of the faith. But when I say come out of Babylon, I am talking firstly to the members of the church. Come out of Babylon. These messages must first be applied to us. Then when we have confessed our sins and turned our lives in total surrender to Christ, then we can call men and women everywhere to turn from sin and to come out of everything that is not right and seek and serve God in spirit and in truth, doing His will and living to bring honor and glory to His name. Only then, when we have confessed our sins and turned from our wicked ways and turned to God with total surrender, then we are in the position to call people. But if we are still in our sins, we are still in Babylon. If we are condoning the sins of the world and participating in the things and the senseless sins of the world, then we too are drunken with the wine of Babylon. The message of the third angel. The third angel sounds the most fearful threat ever given to humankind. And let us read it again in Revelation chapter 14 and verses 9 through 11. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." This is a solemn and sacred message that we must take seriously as members of the church. It is a message, as I've said before, for a world fraught with failure and destined for destruction. The message warns us against drinking the wine of Babylon and incurring the wrath of God. For me, the wine of Babylon is fornication, adultery, lying and cheating, corruption of any form, whether in the church or elsewhere, false teachings and doctrines, Sabbath breaking, false God and false worship. That's why the Bible says, "Come out of Babylon." And if these things represent the wine of Babylon, then we ought to be very careful lest we ourselves are in Babylon. Come out of Babylon. Don't drink the wine of Babylon. Don't partake of the sins of Babylon. Stay away from her sin. See, ultimately, we will accept Christ in all his righteousness and worship him as Lord and Savior. Or we will accept an apostate religion of false worship typified by the beast. There is no two way about Christianity. No two way about Christianity. It's either wrong or right, true or false, Christ or Satan. In essence, the third angel is warning us of what will happen when we refuse Christ and reject the gospel of righteousness by faith given by the first angel in Revelation chapter 14. We need God's grace to remain faithful to Him and to the mission of His church. And grace is available, isn't that so? Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness And he says, my grace is sufficient. You can't be too weak and can't receive enough strength to live above sin. That's what God's grace does for all of us. By grace, through faith, we are saved. What do you say? Verse 12, the Bible says these are the saints, the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that do what? Keep the commandments of God, of the testimony of the faith of Jesus. It seems to me here in verse 12 that those who are patiently enduring and waiting for Christ in spite of the struggles and the stress and the trials of life are those who are pictured according to verse 12, keeping the commandments of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Vision 1 million is an effort to help us to see ourselves and our need for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Vision 1 million is an attempt to help us to recognize that Jesus is coming soon. Vision 1 million is telling all of us to seek for revival and reformation and renewal in light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ our Savior. Vision 1 million is an attempt or an effort by the church to tell all of us that we must be passionate disciples, that we must get involved in the work and the mission of the church, that we must call others when we first have confessed our sins. Call others out of Babylon. Vision 1 million is an effort by the church to help us to share the Advent message with our families, with our friends, with our brothers, and with our sisters. Vision 1 million is all about revival and reformation. Doing the work of God, seeking to help us to be faithful and to help others to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In light of the urgency of the appeal and the soon coming of Christ, let us all seek for personal revival and reformation. Let us be constant in prayer. Let us find time to spend on our knees. Let us find time, quality time, to seek God in prayer. Be constant in prayer. Let us spend much time studying God's word, reading God's word, so that we can be transformed into the full stature and image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, by our lifestyle and by the way we live, the world will know that we are sons and daughters of the living God. May God help us so that we all will remain faithful to